You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best-kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
He's a gorilla of destiny, a Bullet Club OG. Continuing on the legacy of the most feared name in all of wrestling. From Tonga to Japan to America, you are now entering Tama's Island with your host, the babyface heel, Tama Tonga.
All righty, folks. We're live. It's Tuesday, October 19th. It is that time again. We're going to be recording another episode of Tama's Island, and oh boy, this is going to be a doozy of an episode, because hell, before I even get the introductions going, before I even start going into this week's Tama's Island, I gotta say it. Tama beat Okada. Tama Tonga was in the main event against Kazuchika Okada in the G1 climax, and he did what folks like Hiroshi Tanahashi have not been able to do this year, what folks like Carl Anderson were not able to do in 2012. He beat Okada. And he did not just beat Okada, he beat it with the Dive Shack Driver. We'll talk more about the importance of the Dive Shack Driver, but first, I got a couple of Tama's Island regulars here with me, including a former member of the Dive Shack, Karen, how are you doing? How is life? Hey.
Oh, life is good. Life is busy. I'm still recovering from being at the New Japan Strong and Showdown tapings over the weekend, but I'm glad to be back.
Hell yeah, absolutely. We'll talk more about those Philly tapings as we go, but we also got to bring on the third man of this three-man table, of this three-person table, the man who writes the songs that makes the whole world sing. No Name Tim, how are you this fine Tuesday? How are you feeling?
I'm doing well, sir. It's good to see you again. I've missed you.
I've missed you too. I was excited to have you back on the podcast already, because we booked this date before Tama beat Okada. Like I had said I need to have you on here on October 19th. But now that we're on here, buddy, when the main event, they played Ain't Nobody Realer Than Gorillas. They played Gorilla Tactics for the main event of Tama versus Okada. And then when Tama Tonga beat Okada in the middle of the ring, cleanly, I might add. He beat him clean like he's beaten others. They played your music yet again. How'd that feel, Tim?
It's always best to hear it twice.
Yep.
Right? Like, yep. Hearing it once is great, you know, but when you get to hear it twice in a night, it means the boys won.
Yep.
And for him to go out there in the main event of a G1 against Okada and do his thing and put in that work. And it was one of those moments where, in my opinion, you know, Tama has always done, at the end of the day, what's best for Bullet Club,
mm-hmm.
or what's best for the company. Right?
Absolutely.
We saw that night what can happen when Tama Tonga does what's best for Tama Tonga.
Damn right. You're damn right. He not only beat Okada, he beat Okada clean. It really was that kind of... It's been a long road for Tama in New Japan. He doesn't get a lot of singles main events. A lot of times when he's in a singles match, it's usually a little bit more down the card. Like even the ladder match that he did with Taichi, I think there was one more after that. So to not only get the main event, but to also win it, to beat Okada, who is, let's be real, he's the mountain right now. That's what I believe Thomas said in Happy Hour. He's the pinnacle. He's the face of New Japan Pro Wrestling. He was an Olympic torchbearer. And Tama beat him clean. Now let's talk about this Dive Shack Driver, because as someone who has been involved in Tama's Island for a very long time, it warms my heart that we've got stuff like the Dive Shack Driver out there, that we've got the SRC out there. Because you see, a lot of people are subscribed to the Tama's Island Happy Hours that we do over at patreon.com/Tama's Island. We do them every Saturday. They're a lot of fun. And lately, they've all been one session. We have the entire subscriber together. Everyone who can make it does. And it's like it's a fun, like, hour and a half long party. But in the early days, the olden days, the long, long ago, back when the world was in lockdown and Tama was stuck in Florida, we had two rounds of happy hours. We would do, they would be on the same day. It would be a 5 p.m. and then a 6 p.m. And we would have, the first crew was called the Dive Shack, because we would get real deep. There's only like five people in it, and so we get real deep and real serious, so we called it the Dive Shack. Then the second round was the second round crew, and that's where SRC came from. And Karen was a member of the Dive Shack. It was an interesting time, and I feel like there was a lot of talk about Tama someday having some kind of singles run like we've seen in this G1 back when he was in the Dive Shack. And so to see him kind of not necessarily retire the gun stun, I'm not saying the gun stun's done, but... It was not what was able to finish off Okada, this double underhook pile driver, Tiger Driver 98, J Driller, whatever you want to call the base of the move. It's the Dive Shack Driver to us is the new finisher on the block. Karen, how'd you kind of feel with the Okada win, the win over Okada?
See, I had to watch the finals of that match on delay because I had to go. This was one of the only days in the week I had to drive into the office. So I'm like keeping my phone in my purse, trying not to like catch what's going on Twitter. But I was very much like Kris Jenner being like, Tama, you're doing amazing, sweetie. Look at you. Look at him. Look at you growing and thriving. Like, and it, for him to use the Drive Shack Driver, when he originally named it, I was like, all the OGs know that it's something that was something special and that the gun stun is done stun.
Yep.
It's the SRC or the Drive Shack Driver. That's what it is.
Absolutely. Well,
as someone who's a fan and you know, a friend of the show, I'm very happy to see it. I love it so much.
It's fantastic. It was a big moment. It kept Okada from necessarily sweeping the B block. And so Okada is going to have to face Jeff Cobb in about 12 hours, a little under 12 hours over on New Japan World in the B block finals. But let's talk about these B block finals, because the days are all blurring together, and I had to deal with Comcast. So I think it was Monday morning, don't quote me on that. Monday morning, Kota Ibushi, the Golden Star, made history yet again in the G1, as if last year's two wins in a row wasn't enough, as if last year's making it to three G1 climax finals in a row wasn't enough. This year, Kota Ibushi has made history by being the first wrestler in the history of New Japan Pro Wrestling, in the history of the G1 climax, to make it to the finals 4 years in a row. Karen, what did you think of Kota Ibushi being this year's finalist? He, of course, beat out Kenta, Zack Sabre Jr. There was a whole traffic jam at the top of A Block, but eventually it came down to Kota and Kenta, and Kota won out. What did you think of the A Block final, Karen?
All right, so don't get me wrong. I love Kota. I love him a lot. I think he's an amazing wrestler. I really wish after 4 years they would have not been so afraid to use someone else. Like, I feel like Kota Ibushi going to the finals is a safe bet because they can guarantee a great match. But, you know, he still is recovering. While, you know, he's recovering from respiration pneumonia, we've talked about this before, yeah, he's fine and cleared to work, but typically most medical journals I've seen have said it takes up to 6 months to be fully ready and, you know, recovered. Mm-hmm. So it's a safe bet. I really wanted to see Kenta go because, you know, he's my heart and soul. He was one of my very first wrestling favorites. So mm-hmm. It was like, I was excited. I was like, yeah. No, I get it. But, you know, what the heart wants and what the head wants, and it's all, it just.
Well, and.
Nobody wants, it's. All it's, different things.
I do think it's more what the company wants, because I originally had this theory going into this year's G1 that, look, the Western fan base, don't get me wrong, we are plenty loud and we've got our New Japan World subscriptions, but at the end of the day, now that we've got New Japan Strong, now that we've got these strong tapings that have been happening in North America, we have a brand. Like, New Japan doesn't necessarily have to cater to the Western audiences as much on New Japan World as they had to back when it was the be-all and end-all was what happened in Japan. We have our promotion. They are able to lean on some hometown favorites. Your Ibushis, your Okadas, your Naitos. Unfortunately, he was injured, and so he wasn't able to be a part of A-Block like I think a lot of people, including in New Japan, wanted him to be. But I was originally like, it's going to be about the hometown favorites. It's going to be about the Japanese wrestlers. But we were talking to Tama Tonga this past Saturday in the happy hour, and he brought up a very good point that for people like Chase Owens, for people like Tama, for Tonga Loa, for Jeff Cobb, a lot of them have been turned babyface by the fact that they straight up made the sacrifice to come out to Japan in the middle of a pandemic, deal with the quarantine, deal with the state of emergency that, while it was just lifted, wasn't, you know, was still very much in effect when they all came over there. And so it's gotten to the point where people are crying when guys like Chase Owens or Tama Tonga get a big win. And so that kind of deflates my entire theory that this is for the hometown favorites, because apparently the hometown crowd is loving what all of the foreigners have done by sacrificing their time and their energy by coming out there. But it's looking like it's going to be Ibushi, and Ibushi is either going to be facing Jeff Cobb or he's going to be facing Kazuchika Okada. Tim, what do you kind of think of this Kota Ibushi situation with him being 4 years in a row? Clearly, New Japan's behind this guy 100%.
They are. And I love history-making stuff like that, especially mm-hmm. when you got a guy whose work rate and whose career has kind of justified it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I 100% agree with everything that Karen said. I thought, man, the way it's shaping up, I think they might pull the trigger on Kenta. I kind of hope they do, mm-hmm. but they made the safe play.
Yeah.
I can't fault them for making what they might seem or think is the safe play at all, especially mm-hmm. with the way things have been this past year and a half. But at the same time, I was kind of hoping for something a little different. Mm-hmm. But that kind of leads into the Okada Cobb thing.
Yep.
Are we going to see the safe play? Are we going to see, you know, the kind of top tier guy go? Mm-hmm. Or are they going to pull that trigger on Cobb, who has made a ton of history thus far in the G1?
You're not wrong. First guy to go 8-0 in the history of the G1. And he really has been, him and Okan both, just an absolute tear that I think has changed a lot of people's minds about them. Because don't get me wrong, I was always a big Jeff Cobb guy. But what I saw out of him in this year's G1 completely changed the way I look at him. Like, he is absolutely, he's just an insane athlete, and he is a monster. He's finally figured out how to wrestle like a big, mean monster without sacrificing all of the flashy stuff that made him so interesting to begin with. And it's just, I worry that he has gotten all of his stuff together at the wrong time. You know what I mean? Like, this, it's yeah. not, this wasn't going to be his year anyway. He's already made enough history. I think it makes a lot more sense for Okada and Cobb to both end up 8-1 than it does for Okada to go 7-2. If any year, why not this year? Like I just said, the hometown crowd sounds like they will buy a ticket for Ibushi Cobb. It sounds like, yeah, Jeff does. Cobb and a lot of, yeah, exactly. And it's, that would be a hell of a match. And especially if we're trying to kind of create this redemption of Kota Ibushi. Cause let's be real. The first half of 2021 sucked for Kota Ibushi. He was the he was the face of the IWGP unification, which people did not like.
Nope.
Then he lost it on this first defense to Will Ospreay, which people really did not like. Then he just kind of mired in the muck for a while until he got aspirational pneumonia and disappeared. Now he's back, and I don't know if he's fully back. We talked about the B block final. At the end of the day, I think a lot of Kenta fans have an argument to be made that Ibushi got counted out not once, not twice, but thrice in that freaking match. I mean, there were points where Red Shoes was basically going like 19 and a half, 19 and two thirds, 19 and come on, buddy. I know. He's like, he was daring him to count him out. And so I don't know if this is the Ibushi of old. And I get it. When Ibushi kind of came into the company in 2019 as finally saying, I'm full-time, I'm with New Japan, I'm ready to go, it makes sense for him to be on this four-year tear. But I would have interrupted the four-year tear to let him maybe recover a little bit more. I'm not saying he hasn't recovered. I'm just saying that there has been something missing.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
In this Ibushi, I hope he proves me wrong at the Budokan in the final. But I got to open up this question because we've kind of talked around it, but we haven't actually said it. Karen, Okada or Cobb?
It goes back to what my head wants and what my heart wants. Mm-hmm. My heart's saying Jeff Cobb's put in the work. Yep. Knowing that when he won Battle of Los Angeles, I think several years ago, that's the Jeff Cobb I've yearned to see in New Japan forever.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes back to, I don't think they're like, I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. And especially since, you know, during his match with Tama, Jeff said his podcast ain't shit. I want to prove Jeff Cobb wrong. So I'm cheering for Jeff Cobb. You can put that soundbite out there. I don't care. Yep. But I feel like they're going to go with Okada because Okada, again, is another one who's was supposed to have a big year with being the Olympic torchbearer and starting to do like more TV roles and stuff like that. And then his back gave out and he's not... He got
COVID at one point too. He's one of the torchbearers who ended up getting COVID.
Exactly. So it's one of those things where I know that, you know, Okada, there's nothing left for Okada to do unless he, you know, comes to the United States and becomes the strong champion. I don't know. But I feel like an Okada Ibushi final is the safest bet. But for me, the better match would be Ibushi versus Cobb because it's fresh.
Yeah. I mean, it would be a good rematch. I believe Cobb, if I'm not mistaken, Cobb and Ibushi had a match at one of the Dome shows over this past summer, and so it would be nice to kind of reignite that rivalry. I got to throw it to you, Tim. Okada or Cobb?
Me and Karen are going to be best friends by the end of the podcast. Give me Cobb. Give me Cobb and Ibushi. Let them just go out there and do their thing. Let Cobb be the super athlete that he is. The matchup is just so much more enticing to me at this moment in time. Not saying that Ibushi and Okada wouldn't go out and just kill it, but right now,
I've done before, so
we've seen it. We can always see it again, like with the way that Cobb. We kind of touched on it, like.
Yep.
My fear is they're going to say, okay, he's made some history. That's enough for now. We'll go back to it later. And then he can have some sort of run down the line.
Yep.
Don't do that. Pull the trigger now. Let it be hot. Let it do its thing. And then see where it goes. Like you said, the hometown crowd is over for the foreigners right now. Like, let them have that. I feel like they'll be excited that they're going with that versus the safe bet. Yeah, the safe bet everybody will still love. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I feel like by taking that chance, New Japan will kind of gain even more respect with their fan base and with the people who are watching.
Yeah, no, and I'm with you both. I think they're probably going to go Okada, but Cobb. Here's the thing we haven't brought up. The United Empire has also had a shitty year. Because like they just formed at like the end of last year, and then Hanare got trapped in New Zealand because of COVID. Yeah, he's still trapped in New Zealand.
Everybody's trapped in New Zealand.
Osprey got injured, and then Osprey came back, started running his mouth, fighting young lions. Aussie Open are here, but until they can actually get over from Europe, that doesn't really mean anything. So they kind of have the same problem as Hanare. And then you also have to add the fact that TJP just joined, and they've already sent him off to CMLL, which. I don't know what personally is going on with CMLL, but I don't think that's gonna end well. I mean, like CMLL, they're in a weird situation at CMLL. I don't know how to sugarcoat it. CMLL yeah. is in dire straits, and so when you send TJP out there, it's kind of like when Rahm Emanuel got sent to be the ambassador of Japan. Just kind of like, I don't know, send him somewhere. And so the United Empire is scattered to the wind. They need something, anything to kind of give them that boost. Okan has had a good run in A Block, but he's a rookie. You can't put that on him. Not yet.
No.
As good as his run has been, you can't make him the thing that holds the United Empire together. I think G1 Climax finalist, or you know what? I'm just gonna freaking say this. G1 Climax winner, Jeff Cobb.
We'd love to see it.
Would do a ton to legitimize the United Empire. Would do a ton to kind of remind people that these are this is a faction to be taken seriously. And as we saw last year, the G1 Climax winner doesn't need to hold the briefcase the whole time. Cobb can lose this somewhere. And if you
How
still
dare you, no.
If I'm just saying, because there are people
not 2 years in a row, no.
hypothetically, Cobb could win the G1 Climax, and you could still head to the dome and have it be Shingo and Osprey and Okada and Ibushi or whoever you want to be the four guys that go into the 3-night Wrestle Kingdom to like because there's going to be 3 nights of Wrestle Kingdom. So if you thought you could predict 2 nights, try predicting 3 main events for Wrestle Kingdom. I think what Tim said has a lot of merit. Strike while the iron's hot with Cobb. He's an Olympian, for Christ's sake. It's not like this is going to be, you know, putting it on some indie wrestler and hoping that they can, you know, run it. Like, don't get me wrong, plenty of indie wrestlers have been able to carry the banner, but an Olympian knows how to conduct themselves. They know how to carry themselves like a G1 Climax winner. Hell, they know how to carry themselves like a champion. We know that Takagi and Cobb can have a hell of a match. We know Osprey and Cobb can have a hell of a match. We know Cobb and Ibushi can have a hell of a match. And hell, the B Block this year has proven that Cobb can pretty much have a damn good match with everyone from Chase Owens all the way up to Hiroshi Tanahashi. So what is left for this guy to do other than maybe win the G1 Climax? And maybe the IWGP belt, or hell, just make it to the freaking finals. I don't know. I've said my piece. I've said my 2 cents on Cobb, Okada, Ibushi, and all of that.
My only concern about like giving Jeff just enough and then putting him on the back burner is that once the world returns to normal and Jay and Osprey and everybody else comes back, he's going to get pushed further and further and further into the background.
Yep.
This is a prime opportunity, as we talked about before, Ross, to mint a new star.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Do they not like money? Do they want money?
Well,
Jeff Cobb is money.
And I get that. And I said my whole piece about why I think Cobb should win. But if we're going to talk about priorities and we're going to talk about money and we're going to talk about striking while the iron is hot, Kenny Omega is currently involved in a feud with Hangman Page, right? The guy that it seems is likely to dethrone Kenny Omega from the AEW championship. Maybe Kenny Omega wins it, but I really get the vibe that Omega is going to lose the AEW championship to Paige. And he's also booked to face El Hijo del Viking, El Hijo del Vikingo in AAA, who, as we also know, is one of the young stars that it seems like AAA might really want. That Vikingo Omega match has always been cited as a dream match. Okay. It's entirely possible that by January, Kenny Omega has no reason to lose. And so therefore, there's no reason for Kenny Omega not to maybe show up in Japan, maybe face the Golden Star one more time, let the Golden Star get that win. Because Kenny Omega, look, you can say what you want about Kenny Omega, the character. He's a selfless performer. The man has, I watched a match with Yoshihashi from the G1 Climax a while back where, like, that Kenny Omega is a selfless motherfucker, pardon my French. And so I wouldn't be surprised if the entire Ibushi redemption arc is building to him getting that world title back and finally getting to face Kenny Omega. I might be wrong, but it seems like the timing would be right. The only thing stopping is if it's true what they say, that New Japan will truly never bring back Kenny Omega. They tried to stop his passport, yada, yada, yada. They've got it out for him. I don't buy that. I think that especially if Kenny Omega is kind of at the point where he doesn't have a belt to lose, and so therefore he can take maybe a loss. I think he finally gets that make good with Ibushi.
When we get into scenarios like this, 9 times out of 10, you got to look at it and see, okay, does this make logical sense? You know, and what you're saying makes complete logical sense.
A lot of
fantasy booking is like, oh yeah, what if the, and then it's like, oh, yep. But that, why, you know, where's the continuity there? Where does it make sense? And it doesn't. And that's why it doesn't get done.
Yeah.
What you just said all makes complete perfect sense.
Well, and I'm only saying this because I just spent the past however many weeks of the G1 Climax watching Ibushi spam V triggers for the entire length of the G before he hits the Kamigoye every time. Is that bite, little flutter butterfly knee kick? And maybe I'm wearing a tinfoil hat at this point, and I'm crazy from lack of sleep, and I did just get back from the dentist, so I feel like I've been hit in the mouth. But maybe
it's
I'm crazy. It's crazy.
It crazy.
No, I'm not saying it's not crazy, but it's also not like I'm not sitting here, you know, telling you that aliens built the pyramids.
Exactly.
My thing about Ibushi Omega, if they were to do it again, that's the kind of, I don't see that as a title match that's necessary. Like, wait, let me see. The belt is not necessary for them to have a match.
Yes,
it is not.
They have enough history where you could have an amazing blood feud without the belt being there.
And
so it's one of those things where, you know, I'm looking forward to the Full Gear because I've been on the hook for 2 years waiting on Adam Hangman Page to do the thing and talk about being the champion, and I'm ready for some cowboy shit.
Yep.
I'm from the South and we like our cowboys.
Yep.
But it's one of those things where it's just like, Ibushi Omega, maybe it'll happen one day. But I don't think a belt is necessary for it.
I'm not saying that a belt is necessarily necessary for it, but I'm saying that if Ibushi is at the point where if he gets that world title back, that first defense is going to be seriously important, because he didn't defend it last time. He lost to Ospreay on that first loss.
Yeah.
And so I feel like the Omega thing would add that extra, maybe Ibushi does lose it this time. Because pretty much, unless Ibushi has his first defense against Ospreay, and considering the way the situation is right now, it sounds like he'd probably have to beat Ospreay to get back to the world title in the first place, right? Like, I don't think I'm too crazy by saying that Ospreay's world title is going to be part of Wrestle Kingdom.
It's his golden ticket.
Exactly.
The chocolate factory.
Exactly. And so if he's already beaten Ospreay and you need that victory, you need that defense that puts it in question of, I don't know, maybe Ibushi will lose this. Omega's the guy. I don't know anyone else in New Japan who could really put it into, who people would go, I like between from Okada all the way down, I don't think there's anyone that people think would beat Ibushi on that first defense now that he's already lost it on the first defense. You know what I mean?
Naito, but Naito's knees are on vacation.
Exactly. And so I honestly believe that even if Ibushi's first defense is Naito, people are going, oh yeah, Ibushi's winning this one. You know what I mean? Yeah. You gotta play to people's imaginations. That's what Obari said. He's in the imagination business, he's in the dream business. And I think that Omega defense would do it. I don't want to spend too much time on this because at the end of the day, it is just fantasy booking. It is just sitting here, you know, wondering what if. We haven't even gotten to the point where Ibushi is the G1 Climax winner, let alone the world champion. We don't even know who he's facing in the finals. It might be Cobb. It might be Okada. Or hell, Obari might come on TV like in a few hours and be like, actually, you know what? Ibushi did get counted out. Kenta's in the finals now, and we've got a four-way. I don't know. Anything could happen between now and the 21st, so I don't want to spend too much time focusing on January. Let's talk about some other stuff that actually has happened. And I am, of course, talking about the Friday Night Scuffle. I'm, of course, talking about the Friday Night Shootout. I am talking, of course, about Ruby Soho versus the Bunny, equaling in viewership, matching in viewership, Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar's contract signing, a big win for the AEW women's division and AEW in general. I'm going to throw Tim first. What have you kind of thought of not just the way that WWE and AEW kind of went head-to-head on Friday, but all of the fun, I say fun in quotation marks, fallout that has happened online since.
Ruby the Draw Soho, right?
Yep.
Is that what we're going to call her now?
The bunny is now the head of the table. The bunny is the head of the table.
Yeah. And Ruby's the draw. So, yep. I mean, we knew this was going to happen. Well, we didn't know what the numbers were going to look like, but we knew the discourse and the conversation that was going to happen after, regardless.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's all clickbait. It's all this, that, and the third. The numbers don't matter to anybody who's not working in the advertising business or has a horse in the race, right? Yeah. It's all about talking and championing for whatever and to get people talking.
Yeah.
With that said, I'm glad that AEW did what it did. Over the past months, years that they have been in existence, they have pulled me away from most of the other North American wrestling, or at least the big name of North American wrestling, to the point where that doesn't give me what I want anymore. And that's fine. If it gives you what you want, great, fantastic. That's superb. But the fact that you know that they did it on purpose, one.
Yep.
And two, the fact that it was, you can talk about overall viewership you want, you can talk about that. The fact that a company that has been around for 2 years is able to get even that close to a company that for decades has had a foothold on the industry here in North America is incredible and deserves all the praise in the world. I don't care if you're who you're a fan of and who you're not a fan of, you can't deny numbers like that and see the response that AEW is getting for rewarding their fans and telling interesting stories and not relying on promos and DQs and 50-50 booking and all these other tropes that have become ingrained in the North American wrestling fan. They're out here paying it off and doing it through creative storytelling in the ring in matches. And you're seeing that because the fans are tuning in consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. I love every bit of that. And I'm happy to see what they're doing. And we get stuff like Danielson versus Suzuki on YouTube. Are you fucking kidding me?
I was about to say that's I think the X factor. That's the X factor here is there are some nights where Tony Khan goes, for lack of a better term, batshit crazy. And he decides, all right, we're going to do a show where in the middle of the show, Bryan Danielson's going to fight Suzuki live on YouTube. And then the main event of the show, Junior Dos Santos is going to make his pro wrestling debut. Jorge Masvidal is going to knock out Chris Jericho. Like, it's like the old Hustle promotion or something in Japan. Like, it's just they're throwing right. everything at the wall. I love them doubling down with the buy-in before Rampage. Because, like, imagine if WWE did a kickoff show for main event. That's essentially what doing the buy-in yeah. for Rampage is. And so I love the balls of it. I love the fact that by them doing that made me also excited for what SmackDown was going to do to counter it. And so I was sitting there kind of... I didn't watch them both in real time, but I ended up watching both of them by the end of the weekend, which is not something I can say every weekend. And so, like, it was a damn entertaining night. Karen, how did you kind of feel about this madness that we have been subjected to on Fridays?
I have complicated feelings because for the longest time, at first, I was all on board with AEW, and then after a while, midway through the first year, I tapered off. Yep. But in the last 6 months, I've begrudgingly made my way back because they gave a home to so many people that I loved in WWE. But anyway,
yep.
For me, they've really gotten my attention with the coverage and that they've given their women's division, especially in the last couple of weeks. While WWE's run the Queen's Crown
is
less than 30 minutes.
No.
Actual match time.
Not just less than 30 minutes. It's entirely possible if the finals in Saudi Arabia go the same length as the rest of the matches, they will do the entire tournament in under 20 minutes. You'll be able to fit the entire tournament into an episode of The Office and then have a 2 minute tag at the end.
I'm just gonna flip a little disc right here.
Yeah, no, it's infuriating. I would be mad. You know what would really
promote women's wrestling when it's convenient.
They promote
and it makes me furious.
Here's the thing. They don't just promote women's wrestling when it's convenient. They promote anything when it's convenient. I'm gonna use one of the examples of from the Queen's Crown tournament. Zelina Vega. Now, if you are familiar with the history of Zelina Vega, you know her father died in as a firefighter in the September 11th attacks because he was a first responder. And so she was very excited to wrestle at the Madison Square Garden show that was going to mark 20 years since WWE did the first SmackDown after 9/11, because this year is the 20th anniversary of 9/11. And she got cut for time. So they didn't even think and don't get me wrong, I know this sounds so soulless, but they have someone whose father died in 9/11, who is excited to wrestle that night, was tweeting about how excited she was, and they couldn't even put her on TV, but she's going to be able to wrestle for the Saudi royal family, which, depending on which books you've read, I've read the 9/11 commission reports. 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudi nationals. There was some money that went towards the attacks. And so she didn't get to wrestle at the Madison Square Garden show, but she sure as hell is going to get to wrestle for the people that funded her father's death.
Or when they had, they did their Pride Month celebration and had, you know, Jake Atlas and Mercedes Martinez and then released them like a month later. Like, thanks for showing up and showing out. Bye. Like, I have friends who work in that company and I'm glad they're taken care of and I'm glad their families are taken care of, but it's so hard to try and support the company week in and week out when things like this keep happening.
Mm-hmm. It was hard.
That's the key. They keep happening.
They keep
happening over and over and over and over and over and over and over again.
And over and over and over and over.
And over and over again.
It's hard and it was hard when there wasn't an alternative out there that don't get me wrong, the AEW's made plenty of missteps. If you've listened to the entirety of Thomas Island, you've listened to me go on this roller coaster of, oh my god, this explosion match is gonna kill them, to all the way to, oh my god, they're the greatest thing ever. Like, I've been through the gamut on AEW, but man, they have really made sure to make something that makes you don't feel quite as icky like that $9.99 I used to give to the WWE network. It made you feel a little gross. It made you feel a little weird, just a little,
my disdain for Peacock made it a lot easier to cut that tie. I was like, you know what, nope. I'm done.
See, I was already subscribed to Peacock because I was like, I want the Universal Monster movies. So when they came to Peacock, I was like, well, I'm already paying the money. I'm already paying it. But yeah, no, it Crown Jewel is this Thursday. I don't really have much to talk about for it. It's some of the matches look fine. Goldberg has promised to kill Bobby Lashley, which it's Saudi Arabia. He might.
It might happen. Ross! We might get a murder.
What?
On Peacock.
What he said? He
you
said
guys
it.
Want to see murder in October?
He like, said he said he's gonna have a license to. He said he's gonna have a license to kill over there, and I'm subscribed to the Washington Post. R.I.P. Jamal Khashoggi. I'm sorry. It's Saudi Arabia. I have no sympathy. They can do all the sports washing they want. But it definitely is gonna be a weird show. But what is a weird show in a fun way, and is about to come on in about an hour. WWE NXT. That's I think the one WWE product that I'm just all in on. Between Tony D'Angelo, Bron Breakker, Odyssey Jones, and just everything they've got going on, I'm real stoked for the future of NXT. We've talked a lot about NXT, so I don't want to get too into it. But Tim, what have you kind of thought of the NXT 2.0, the reboot?
I was hesitant at first because I'm like, oh, wait, now. Okay, so you're scrapping all these things and all these, because I used to love NXT. NXT mm-hmm. was giving me everything I wanted and more. And, you know, as the landscape changed, so too did it. And mm-hmm. when I hear the, oh, we're going to, you know, homegrown athletes, we want athletes, we don't want professional wrestlers, we're going to revamp. And I'm like, oh man, this is not going to be for me. I love mm-hmm. my professional wrestling, as Bryan Danielson has so eloquently put it over these past couple months. But man, they have surprised me mm-hmm. With, and not more so the company surprised me. The talent, I think, like you said, the character mm-hmm. work with Tony D'Angelo, and you got Bron Breakker, and you've got these guys who I'm like, oh, wow, no, these guys are going to bring it. And this is kind of something that people need to pay attention mm-hmm. to, because I really think these guys are future stars.
Yeah. And we've talked a lot about NXT on the podcast, but there is one person who's broken out in the past few weeks that I want to bring up. Lash Legend. She's not a wrestler. She's just like a personality they've got to do interviews and to maybe she'll be a manager. I don't know what the future holds for Lash Legend, but I'm excited about it because she talks. And don't get me wrong. I understand for not everyone's going to like this, but she talks so much in references and like weekly references that she really like makes me like feel like the NXT is a part of the world and not like off in this like WWE universe where where sometimes the real world exists and sometimes the real world doesn't, cough Saudi Arabia, cough cough. And so with Lash Legend, I feel like I feel like NXT takes place in the real world. I feel like it takes place in the reality I'm living in, and so that is definitely I think one of the real enlightening things over the past few weeks. Karen, you've been a longtime NXT fan, and you talked about going to the NXT shows, the first couple episodes of the reboot. But what have you kind of thought of the past couple weeks now that it's kind of settled into itself?
I feel like they're finally getting their footing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're starting to find that perfect balance of pairing the veteran wrestlers with the brand new talent they've brought in and that they're teaching. And for Lash Legend, I love the fact that she loves Ikki Manjiro because Ikki Manjiro is my homeboy.
Yep. And apparently
with his style strong.
And apparently
I can't get enough of him. I love him. And he's beloved. NXT loves him.
He's all over the show. He's all over the show right now.
I love it so much.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Shout out to Jiro. Shout out to Lash Legend. But not only is NXT finding its footing, New Japan Strong has truly not only found its footing, it's starting to get off to the races a little bit now that they had the tapings in Garland, Texas that have now been actually turned into New Japan Strong episodes. And so we've been watching New Japan Strong with fans. But this past weekend, they did a raucous series of tapings in the 2300 Arena, also known as the Alhambra Arena, also known as the ECW Arena in Philadelphia. Karen, you were there for it. Just give us the introduction. Talk us through how this weekend of New Japan Strong or it was New Japan Showdown. This is the Showdown tapings of New Japan Strong. How'd they go?
They you know, it's always a good time when I get to go to New Japan Show Live. And New Japan Strong, especially after going to LA for the Fighting Spirit Unleashed tapings, has really, really grown on me, because there's nothing like seeing it live. There isn't. Simply isn't. Yep. And I was lucky. I ran into a whole bunch of the Islanders.
Yeah,
they were showing up and showing out. Love in Philly. That. It was great to see everybody. And I apologize if I was a bit of an airhead while I was there, because I'd only been up since 3 o'clock in the morning to fly out from Orlando and then going full throttle the whole day through Philly.
Oof.
So I was like, I'm at the show, like, I'm awake. I love wrestling. I'm awake. I love wrestling. But it was one of those things where I actually sat in the very last row in the back for a change. Mm-hmm. And it was nice because I didn't have to be like all turned up to like 11 being like, oh, I love wrestling. I was just like, I love the wrestling. This is great.
Yep.
I'm having a good time.
That's why I like kind of hanging. I've always been kind of a wallflower at shows, just because like when you're in the front row, there is so much responsibility to like get people excited to get, like, because you're feeding the wrestlers, you know. Is everything good?
Yep, everything's fine. Sorry.
Okay, no worries. No worries. Just I saw your eyes darting. I was like, oh no, I've frozen. I've had so much.
Yeah. I went to reply to the chat, but then I realized I'm subscribed on Patreon, but not on Twitch, so I can't reply to anyone. So,
oh no.
Thanks, everyone who's saying good things in the chat. I appreciate you. I love you.
And that reminds me, I meant to have like the chat open and everything, and I totally don't. And I'm like, oh shit, no. So hi chat. I love every single one of you that ever have talked to me. You guys are the fucking best.
Hell yeah.
Let's go.
I'm so glad we got this moment to tell the chat we love them. We don't get to tell the chat we love them enough. We use them so much for fodder, and we never give anything back. Thank you all to everyone who has been subscribing and in the chat hanging out every week over at twitch.tv/Thomas Island. But let's get back to these New Japan Strong tapings, because Karen, it seems like it was a pretty wild weekend of shows. You had stuff like Will Ospreay versus Alex Zane, Minoru Suzuki versus Chris Dickinson. I mean, this was a wild and raucous set of tapings. I keep saying raucous. That's my word of the day.
I feel like raucous might be the best word to describe it, though, because when you describe a lineup like that, like, lucky her, like, to be there to see these. Like, I'm insanely jealous.
The challenge was that because there was, like, a 9-match card, because it was basically they're going to end up breaking it down to three sets of matches per show. So it's, like, basically 6 episodes.
Yeah.
So it was a lot to take in.
It reminds
me of the old Ring of Honor tapings, where you're just sort of like, I'm still here. Y'all, it's my third Christopher Daniels match. I'm ready.
We're taping 12 weeks. Let's go.
That's how it was when they used to do NXT tapings. They'd do like 3 days, and it was like, they're going on tour for like 3 months. So everyone's just we're here for 5 hours.
Speaking of, I know we talked about Saudi Arabia a little bit. They are still trying to do that thing where they fly from Saudi Arabia all the way back for SmackDown. So shout out to all the NXT talent that's going to get to make their SmackDown debut this week.
Yay!
Hey, last time worked out great.
It worked out fantastic.
No,
it was a great show. I've never in my life wished that someone got held up at the airport. But I mean, hey, let's make some.
Weather's a real thing. It causes delays. No one controls the weather.
I hope it's for weather. That's all I'm saying is I hope it's for weather and not
weather.
and not another event that will be talked about in therapy sessions for years to come. enough about the plane ride from hell 2. Let's talk about New Japan Showdown, because there were a lot of big story stuff that came out of the shows that we're not going to talk about, because they will end up on New Japan Strong eventually. Watch New Japan Strong 8/7 Central on New Japan World. I do results every week for WrestleZone. It's really becoming a great show. But one thing we can talk about, because it's all over New Japan social media, former Buddy Murphy, now Buddy Matthews, is going to be making his debut on November 13th at Battle in the Valley in San Jose, which, it should be noted, is the same night as Full Gear, so that means that Buddy Matthews, for right now, is New Japan. We don't know. Maybe someday he'll be All Elite, but right now that boy is wearing the Lion Mark proud. Karen, what was the reaction like when Buddy Matthews, his video showed up on the screen?
So we talked about this a little bit before we got started, was that I'm a longtime Buddy fan. Mm. When I started in NXT in 2014, I've wanted nothing but the best for this man. So when he got let go and everyone was waiting to see what's happening, We're like, oh gosh, could this be it? Could this be it? Could this be it? The problem with that promo is it's in the rain. Yep. There's umbrellas. Everyone's yep. like, oh no.
I was about to say, because when let me just say, I'll
and
give
in
you
black
my-
and white. It was also yep. filmed in black and white. So yep. I'm like, yeah. we're not doing this, are we guys?
Yep. No, and I had the same experience because when it popped up on social media, it was just one of the New Japan Global things like, hey, look who's coming to New Japan. And I saw the umbrella. I saw the rain. And I went, oh God, they tried it once. They're gonna try it again. Marty Scurll might be coming back, but luckily it's not Marty Scurll. He is relegated to I don't know wherever he's. I saw him on some Puerto Rico taping. I think I don't know.
Something like that.
He's around somewhere.
The sound that came out of me when yep. he pulled the umbrella back and it was him soaking wet. So why'd you have the umbrella, buddy? Sorry, didn't do anything for you. I was over the moon. So I was trying to like, I don't usually do spoilers at shows, but yep. I was like, this, the world needs to know this because yep. this yeah. man deserves the world.
Yes.
As much as I would like love to see him be all elite and you tie, weave your oh, little yeah. story with Malachi Black about being Matthew in the prison. Call back to that. Yep. I'm like, no, I want to see not in the Super Juniors. I want that man in the G1 next year. I want him fighting yes. Okada. I was like, it's happening.
And I was going to say, based on what I saw in that promo, based on what I've seen from his workout photos over the course of his non-compete clause. Yeah, that's not a junior heavyweight. He was, and shout out to WWE, but he was barely a junior heavyweight when he was a cruiserweight. And now he, yeah. I let that boy be a big beefy heavyweight.
I'd like to thank Buddy Matthews for his gym service and his fan service, because you know what? It's good stuff. Oh, I want him to fight Shingo. I want him to fight all the big guys, but I also yep. want to see him tangle with Ishimori and Sho, because you know how I am about Sho.
Absolutely.
I want to see him fight everyone.
He's got to tangle with Sho. I don't want to harp on it too much. I do want to go back to the umbrella, because I do kind of hope that Matthews just steals the umbrella outright. Like, there has been a big trend. I'm gonna out myself as a truly uncool person. I watch Family Guy every week. I have every year. And there has been a streak in recent Family Guy episodes to just straight up steal stuff from Bill Cosby. Because screw it. The man was in jail. He's been convicted of numerous sex crimes. It's not like he's using the jokes. So why don't we take all of the funny Bill Cosby yeah, jokes?
That's our joke now.
I kind of hope that people start doing that with canceled wrestlers. That we start, you know, seeing the umbrella show up. You know, we'll have... there aren't really many other calling cards for canceled wrestlers, so it really just ends at the umbrella. But yeah, make it your own thing. Steal it. It's perfect.
Leave the whoop whoop out. I don't need any more whoop whooping.
No more whoop whooping.
Please.
Well, and that was the kind of thing that the Juggalos were going to put a stop to eventually, because that's their thing. And don't get me wrong, maybe Marty was down with the clown, but you can't assume exactly. But you can't assume everyone is, and so no more whoop whooping. But yeah, no, I think Matthew should take the umbrella and just make it his own things. It's a fun gimmick.
I'm extremely excited to see him elsewhere, wherever it was going to be, wherever he's yep. one of those guys who. Whenever his non-compete was up, I was just waiting. Like, I want to see this guy wrestle with the shackles off and let him go do his thing. Going, circling back to Danielson and Suzuki from Friday. We got, so Bryan Danielson to me, before he got to WWE, was arguably, in definitely my opinion, the best independent professional wrestler that was out there, bell to bell. You can now argue he's maybe one of the best bell to bell of all time, period.
Yep.
So we saw a young Bryan Danielson go to WWE, kind of get confined a little bit, have to work within their system, but still was able to get his stuff in and put together the incredible body of work he did, right? Mm-hmm. Now, on Friday, we got to see a veteran Bryan Danielson with those shackles removed do what he is arguably the best in the world at doing. Guys like Buddy Murphy, we're going to get to see do what they are so good at with these shackles off and be able to tell these compelling in-ring stories that we haven't been able to see him do. And I think it's just, I think Buddy's ceiling is, there is no ceiling. I feel like he can go all the way up.
Absolutely.
If there's a possibility before he signs anywhere, PWG, put him in Bola.
Yes.
Well, and let him fight Bandito and everybody else in Bola, please.
Here's the thing, though. Malakai Black is half of the PWG tag champions right now. Like, yep. Signing a contract with All Elite is not going to stop Buddy Murphy from showing up in PWG. Or Buddy Matthews,
so,
I'm sorry.
Which is so refreshing. And but, it's like these guys are going to get to go do what they want to do and what they love to do. And you love to see it.
Wrestling to the people. We're the real winners in all of this.
Hands down.
Well, and here's the other thing. Is that this wellspring of joy that has kind of come out of this current wrestling landscape, you're seeing it bring a lot of guys out of the woodwork, like the Batiri show up on AEW Dark, various guys from the independent scene who may not have gotten their due and proper in their day are starting to show up. But what ends up happening is when other people start to become free and are able to wrestle, you see other people go, oh, well, I never got to wrestle them. I'm going to show up and I'm going to wrestle them, because Buddy Matthews showed up in Georgia recently, I believe over this weekend. He showed up in Georgia, wrestled a match, and who shows up to challenge him afterwards but ACH, who has been just kind of nowhere for the past like few months. He just kind of disappeared for a while. Yep. But then when Buddy Matthews said he's back, ACH popped up and said, oh, I'm going to wrestle that dude. I'm ready to go for that. And so just by coming back and bringing back ACH, he's already having one of the best runs of the independent. Like that's a mitzvah and kismet, whatever the hell you want to call it. Bringing back ACH is big. Guys like Crowbar showing back up in AEW Dark, like it really is getting exciting again, because even the people who have been like really burned by WWE, guys like ACH, guys like, I mean, Chris Hero will show up any day now. He's already producing for a couple of companies. Like he's backstage helping out with some stuff. And so it's like, it's really making it, if it, it's as good as it is that it's making it fun for the fans, it's making it fun for the wrestlers. And that's when like the real magic happens.
I'm loving seeing wrestlers
with wrestling.
You cut out a little bit there. There, you know, because like, and while you're fixing that, this is a good time to bring up like the run Minoru Suzuki is having through North America right now. I mean, this is a guy. It's not like he was inactive or anything, but it's lit this new fire under him now that he gets to wrestle guys like Brian Danielson. He gets to wrestle John Moxley. He's gonna wrestle Nick Gage. We're probably gonna see light tube spots from Minoru Suzuki.
Right, there you go.
It's gonna get wild. But what were you gonna say, Tim? Because you're back now.
Yeah, I was just, I don't know why, for some reason it connected to another microphone in here. You know how technology is.
Absolutely.
But I'm loving seeing professional wrestlers fall back in love with professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just so heartwarming, and just so, you want a champion for these guys, and you want to, you know, and you just want to get behind them, because it's like, wow, I know what it's like to fall out of love with something for, mm-hmm. you know, reasons out of my control. And then fall back in love with it again because of the right situation and the right circumstances. And you're seeing that. And then that all ties back into what Karen was saying of us being the winners, because we're getting to see people go out there and do what they love. And it's just, you know, you can't hate on that.
Mm-hmm. No, and it's like I said, it's even making me excited for some of the stuff that they're doing over on SmackDown, because NXT has had to refurbish. It's a brand new product that hits me right in my ADD, you know, millennial stoner core. It's very colorful, and I do drugs, so it's great. It's perfect. But it does. It just feels like it's such a good freaking time to be a wrestling fan right now. Like it's a really damn fun time, because like here's the other thing. We just talked about wrestlers falling back in love with wrestling. We talked about Brian Danielson. We talked about Suzuki. We talked about all these guys. CM Punk is back, having a blast. He's wrestling guys like Darby Allin. He got to wrestle Daniel Garcia. He got to reignite stuff with Matt Sydal. I mean, like it really does kind of feel like anything can happen. Like
it does.
It's gonna be real fun. Like I said, The G1 climax is going to continue at about 5:30 a.m. on New Japan World, or 4:30 a.m. I think. I'll check that. Go over to New Japan World. They have the exact
just
time.
Just go over there and hang out and figure it. Just go on there now and stay on there now until it starts.
They have
It'll
so
start,
much.
I promise.
Yeah, they have so much content to keep you busy.
Yeah, you can be busy.
I went down a rabbit hole recently of Monsieur Rambo, the French. There was a wrestler in New Japan for a little bit by the name of Monsieur Rambo. He doesn't wrestle like the French Rambo, but I like to pretend that that's what he was. Exactly. But yeah, so the G1 climax, we got the B block finals on the 20th, the full blown G1 climax finals on the 21st. NXT has Halloween Havoc next week. Crown Jewel is on Thursday.
Josh Barnett's Bloodsport's this weekend.
Josh Barnett's Bloodsport is this weekend, featuring another, yet again, Dickinson versus Suzuki, this time under Bloodsport rules. Like, there's Impact's on Thursday.
Impact's got a pay-per-view this
Bound
week.
For Glory on
Bound
Saturday?
For Glory Saturday too, yeah.
That sounds right, yep. They're in Vegas for that one. It sounds like it's going to be a damn good time. I believe the Inspirations, the former Iconics, are going to be popping up in the Knockouts division for that one.
Yes.
This week's Dark Side of the Ring is XPW, so you get all of your deathmatch wrestling and porn in one place. It's true.
Let's
that
stop
they're
shopping.
Oh, it's true. Just wait until they get into the fact that like XP, that was the two things XPW produced. They were producing hardcore wrestling and hardcore pornography. New Jack got paid in thousands of VHSs of porn. I'm excited for this week's Dark Side of the Ring. It's going to be like the Herb Abrams episode where it's going to be a roller coaster. There's a lot of wrestling, so I want to thank you all for joining us in the Twitch chat. I want to thank you all for listening to this podcast. Before we completely wind down, Karen, where can people find you online if you want them to find you?
If you feel so inclined, Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, Hey Karen Sensei, that's where I'm at. There's a link tree in my Twitter bio. It has everything else, my wrestling blog, my work for Post Wrestling, all that good stuff.
That's right.
Let's have fun.
That's right. What are you covering for? Is it just Stardom, or you just have a general post over at Post?
Post is about Stardom.
Okay.
But I'm only doing reviews for their big show. So the next big show for me will be November 3rd, Kawasaki Super Wars. It's the middle of the Goddesses Tag League. Lots of murder. It's going to be great. The girls are killing it. I can't wait to watch it. I'm still got to catch up.
Yep.
Tape delays are not my friend, but
I'm with you. I'm way too behind on Stardom at the moment. Everything's been happening. Oh, speaking of everything happening, Minoru Suzuki is going to be an Impact at Bound for Glory as well. It sounds like he's going to be showing up at Bound for Glory. So there's that as well. Tim, where can people find you if you want them to find you?
They can't find me everywhere like they can Minoru Suzuki right now.
Minoru Suzuki right now is like Santa Claus or like Slash in that one South Park episode.
He's just showing up everywhere. Yeah. But no, you can find me on Instagram. It's no period name period Tim. Twitter, it's no underscore name underscore Tim. Website's nonametim.com. Stream Kofi's 100 Dark Nights. I produced on that. Stream all Trev Case's music. Stream Firing Squad. Stream all that fun stuff.
Hell yeah. And I'm at Ross W. Berman IV on Twitter, Ross Berman IV on Instagram, rossberman.bandcamp for all my music. I got a nice, fun, dark album about America called Veiled Prophets coming out on October 29th. Oh God, that's coming up. I got to finish this album.
Let's go.
Yeah, I'm going to be going right to the deadline on that. You can always find this podcast at Thomas Island on Twitter, on Instagram. Go to patreon.com/Thomas Island if you want to subscribe to the Patreon, have fun on Happy Hour, and all that kind of stuff. twitch.tv/Thomas Island. But you already know that. You're watching it on Twitch. If you're listening, you probably know that because you've been listening before. There's a siren going by in Chicago, so I should probably...
Hey, that sounds like Chicago, baby.
Look, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. It was not the cops. It was an ambulance.
That was it, yeah.
So laws were not broken. A person's life is hopefully being saved. Let's all have a good weekend. Please enjoy whatever you want to enjoy. And we'll see you next week. Thank you all. Take care.
Thank you for listening to this week's Thomas Island. Find more great Thomas Island content like the Shotgun series, weekly happy hour Zoom calls with Tama, video versions of the podcast, and much, much more at patreon.com/Thomas Island and visit @Thomas Island on Instagram and Twitter.